Ascent Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Teams That Work, The Seven Drivers of Team Effectiveness, by Scott Tannenbaum and Eduardo Salas. Narrated by Chris Andrew Shula. Part 1. All About Teams. Chapter 1. What Really Drives Team Effectiveness? And getting the most out of this book. You are a member of a small team working on an important, challenging mission. Your assignment is dangerous, and there's a non-trivial chance that you or your team members won't survive. You'll be working and living together in a small, confined space for several years. You'll be isolated from your family and friends, and even from headquarters, HQ. When you want to talk with the folks at HQ, it will take 20 minutes for your message to reach them, and 20 additional minutes for their response to get back to you, so you won't be able to get any real-time guidance from them. Having a bad day? You can't call in sick or go for a walk. You and your team members will be working and living together shoulder to shoulder, every day, for years. How would you feel about being on this team? Those are the challenges that a long-duration space exploration crew will face in a future mission. You can readily see the teamwork challenges associated with such a mission, and that's why we and others have been conducting research for NASA that will help them choose astronauts who will be good teammates, form a crew with the right mix of capabilities, and prepare the team to withstand and hopefully thrive in adverse conditions. A trip to outer space presents an extreme teamwork challenge, perhaps a 98 on a 100-point scale of difficulty. We doubt your team faces such an extreme challenge. Most teams don't, but that doesn't mean being on a team is easy. All teams face challenges, even a simple project team. Teamwork and collaboration are hard. Technically, teamwork is a specific form of collaboration, but throughout the book, we use the terms teamwork and collaboration interchangeably. If you've been working for a while, you've almost certainly experienced a struggling team firsthand. Despite what they sing in the Lego movie, everything isn't always cool when you're part of a team. Being on a bad team can be a painful experience. The Science of Teamwork, The Seven Key Drivers. We've written this book to help you and your colleagues make informed, evidence-based decisions that enable your teams to work well together and produce great results. You'll learn about the science of teamwork and tangible ways to apply that science to be an effective team leader, a great team member, a supportive senior leader, or an impactful consultant. We're industrial organizational psychologists. Eduardo is also a human factors psychologist, and for the last 30 years or so, we've worked with, provided advice to, and studied teams in a myriad of settings. Some of these teams operate in dangerous settings, such as astronauts, oil rig crews in the North Sea, smoke jumpers, they parachute into fires, and combat teams. Some perform in settings where mistakes can cost people lives, such as medical teams and teams of military aviators. Others do their work in corporate environments, including boards of directors, leadership teams, and sales, manufacturing, finance, and project teams. You'll hear about some of our experiences with these teams. While we've been working with and studying teams, other researchers have been busy as well. There is now a large growing body of interesting empirical research, much of it conducted by behavioral scientists. We carefully reviewed the research literature and reflected on our experiences, looking for consistent patterns that reveal what truly drives team effectiveness. We discovered 7 consistent drivers of team effectiveness. In this chapter, you'll get a high-level preview of the drivers. Subsequent chapters contain a detailed study of each, followed by practical tips and tools. But first, let's clarify what we mean by a highly effective team. Highly effective teams. A highly effective team is, first of all, a team. We define a team as 1. Two or more people. 2. Who interact with one another. 3. In situations where at least some members need to rely on other team members at least some of the time. 4. Sharing a common, or at least somewhat overlapping, sense of purpose or goals, and 5. Are viewed as a unit by others and or themselves. That is, some of what they do could be legitimately attributed to them as a unit. A group of people who work together in the same room is not necessarily a team. Simply sharing workspace or performing similar tasks doesn't constitute being a team. But a team need not be a neatly defined entity with clearly assigned roles, stable membership, and a singular goal fully shared by all team members. Most teams in organizational settings are a good bit messier, but still meet our definition of a team. A highly effective team is one that demonstrates sustained performance, team resilience, and ongoing vitality. If a team frivolously expends resources and spends all its chips to hit a short-term goal, and in so doing, degrades its future capabilities and performance, we would not consider it highly effective. If a team produces positive results when conditions are favorable, but crumbles when things get tough, or takes an extremely long time to rebound from negative events, we would not consider it to be highly effective. And if a team burns out its team members, and therefore lacks the vitality needed to adapt, persevere, and innovate going forward, we would not consider it a highly effective team. Short-term results are an imperfect indicator of team effectiveness. Our focus is on identifying what enables teams to be highly effective and not simply capable of short-term success or performing well only when conditions are favorable. Team effectiveness, as we define it, has 3 components. 1. Sustained performance, generating positive results over time. 2. Team resilience, working through challenges and bouncing back from adversity. And 3. Vitality, maintaining energy, vibrancy, and resources needed for future success. The 7 drivers of team effectiveness. What really creates team effectiveness? 7 drivers consistently make a difference. At times, one may be more important than another, but all play a role in the success of almost any team. Table 1.1 lists these drivers, along with a fundamental question for each. Table 1.1. Key questions about the 7 drivers. Driver number 1. Capability. Fundamental question. Do we have the right people with the right mix of knowledge, skills, and other attributes? Driver number 2. Cooperation. Fundamental question. Do team members possess the right beliefs and attitudes about their team? Driver number 3. Coordination. Fundamental question. Are team members exhibiting the necessary teamwork behaviors for team success? Driver number 4. Communication. Fundamental question. Do team members communicate effectively with each other and with people outside the team? Driver number 5. Cognition. Fundamental question. Do team members possess a shared understanding about key factors such as priorities, roles, and vision? Driver number 6. Coaching. Fundamental question. Does the leader and/or team members demonstrate the necessary leadership behaviors? And driver number 7, conditions. Fundamental question. Is the context in which the team operates favorable for performing effectively? For example, ample resources and/or supportive culture. Capability refers to the individual and collective competencies that a team possesses. Does the team have the knowledge, skills, personality, and other personal attributes needed to complete assignments, overcome challenges, and adapt as needed to sustain performance? Sometimes we can anticipate how well a team will perform by examining the team's average capability on a key attribute. Other times, the best indicator might be the capability of the strongest or weakest team member, or if the team has 2 people with the capability to perform a critical task. In Chapter 4, you'll learn what the research tells us about capabilities, including 5 fundamental skills and 4 personal attributes that contribute to teamwork, along with 3 toxic traits you'll want to avoid. Capability is about having ample horsepower. If your team lacks critical competencies, it will be difficult to succeed. Cooperation refers to the attitudes and beliefs that individuals bring to the team each day. What do they think about this team and the people on it? Do they think the team can succeed? Do they trust one another? Do they believe they can be genuine with other members on the team? Are they committed to the team and the work they do? People join a team with general beliefs about working on a team, shaped in part by past experiences and in part by their own personalities and propensities. Over time, they learn about their new team and develop attitudes about that team and specific team members. Together, these influence their willingness to engage in teamwork behaviors. As we'll hear, research shows that mindset matters. For example, when team members collectively believe that their team is likely to succeed, it boosts the team's effectiveness. In some cases, all that is needed is for team members to be civil with one another and not get in each other's way. Yet even that requires a certain mindset. In other instances, far more teamwork is needed, and team members must be willing to step up and work as a team. In Chapter 5, you'll learn what the research tells us about four distinct cooperative beliefs and how you can help them emerge: trust, psychological safety, collective efficacy, and cohesion. Cooperation is about mindset, beliefs and attitudes about my teammates and my team. Coordination is at the heart of teamwork. It refers to the teamwork behaviors that a team needs to demonstrate to be highly effective. The exact behaviors can vary from team to team or even across situations, but almost all teams need to maintain situation awareness, back up or fill in for one another, adapt, and manage team emotions. Some teams struggle because they don't know the teamwork behaviors they need to exhibit. As a simple example, on a senior leadership team, when someone is unable to attend a meeting, who will provide that person with a briefing of what transpired? Is there an awareness that someone needs to fill in for that person and provide a form of backup? Knowing the necessary behaviors is part of the equation. But then the real question is whether team members take those actions on a consistent basis. In Chapter 6, you'll learn what the research tells us about the four most important coordination behaviors and the three things that effective teams tend to monitor. Coordination is about behavior, teammates demonstrating the right teamwork behaviors. It is about actions, not attitudes. Communication refers to information exchange within a team, as well as individuals and groups outside the team. It is not simply talking to one another. More communication isn't always better, but the way a team communicates drives its effectiveness. Poor communications can doom a team. Communications are needed to ensure team members have the information they need and that they maintain proper awareness. Moreover, the way in which a team communicates with outsiders, for example, with its partners, sponsors, and customers, greatly influences relationship quality. So we discuss boundary spanning, or sustaining relationships with key stakeholders, in the chapter on communications. In Chapter 7, you'll learn what the research tells us about the importance of communicating unique information, the value of closed-loop communications, and how to be alert for the biggest communication obstacles. Communication is about information exchange to accomplish work, maintain awareness, and foster positive relationships both within and outside the team. Cognition refers to the extent to which team members possess a shared or at least a complementary understanding about key factors. Cognition, as described in this book, isn't about an individual's attitudes or mindset, but instead refers to the overall team. If we were to interview each person on your team separately, what would they say about the team's priorities? About who is responsible for certain tasks or who gets to make certain decisions? When a team has conflicting or unreconciled points of view on priorities, roles, or how to handle certain situations, it can adversely affect its ability to coordinate and perform effectively. In contrast, when a team possesses what psychologists call shared mental models, it often results in better performance. Another way to think about cognition is whether your team members are all on the same page. In Chapter 8, you'll learn what the research tells us about the 8 types of shared cognitions, and the questions you should want all your team members to be able to answer in a similar way. Cognition is about shared awareness and understanding. For example, about priorities, roles, the situation, and expectations. Conditions refers to the context in which the team operates. No team operates in a vacuum, and the environment can be an enabler and/or an inhibitor of team effectiveness. Local conditions, such as resource availability, degree of autonomy, work environment, and time availability, can influence team performance. And broader conditions can help promote and sustain teamwork, or they can inhibit and constrain it. For example, organizational policies and practices, including performance management and compensation practices, create expectations about teamwork. The climate in which the team is embedded also matters. Is the organization one where people typically feel safe speaking up? Is the team being supported by the leadership above them? Sometimes the cues are obvious. For example, insufficient resources is a powerful signal to a project team that their project isn't very important. Other cues are more subtle. Who gets promoted in the organization? Team players? Selfish people, as long as they produce results? Collectively, the conditions surrounding a team send signals about whether coordination is encouraged, accepted, or discouraged in the organization. It is critical to monitor conditions and, where possible, take actions to ensure they support team success, or at least try to remove obvious impediments. In Chapter 9, you'll learn what the research tells us about 6 key organizational conditions, 3 key senior leadership conditions, and 4 team-specific local conditions that greatly influence team effectiveness. Conditions are about the environment in which the team is embedded. They send signals that either support or inhibit teamwork and performance. Coaching refers to leadership. Without question, leadership matters. A good leader can help a team be more successful. And as anyone who ever worked for a poor leader can attest, bad leadership can not only create a huge performance obstacle, it can also make being on a team quite unpleasant, which affects future beliefs about working in a team. So there is value in understanding the behaviors effective leaders exhibit and the functions they perform. For example, how they provide advice and promote ongoing team learning. But leadership isn't just for leaders. More and more frequently, we see the need for team members to step up and perform some leadership functions, what researchers refer to as shared leadership. Shared leadership doesn't involve appointing an additional leader, but is more about informal behaviors. As organizational structures get flatter and managers oversee larger groups of individuals, a leader can't see everything and won't always be available to give feedback or help her team members. That's why some degree of shared leadership is often needed. In Chapter 10, you'll learn what the research tells us about the 7 essential leadership functions that must be fulfilled on a team, along with practical insights from 3 empirically tested leadership approaches and 1 derived from our experiences. Coaching is about leadership, the leader as well as team members demonstrating effective leadership behaviors. How do the drivers relate to one another? They are not independent. For example, information sharing, communications, facilitates the development of shared understanding, cognitions, which in turn makes it easier to back up one another when needed, coordination. Research shows that all of the drivers can influence team effectiveness. We want to emphasize 3 key points. First, cooperation or mindset tends to emerge from the other 6 drivers. As a team member, do I think my team can succeed? Do I trust my team members? The emergence of those beliefs depends on the talent on the team, the extent to which we coordinate our work and communicate effectively, the degree to which we have a shared understanding of roles and priorities, our access to resources, and various leadership behaviors. Attitudes such as trust and collective efficacy emerge from doing the other things well, and in turn, those cooperative attitudes can influence the other drivers. For example, when we trust one another, it becomes easier for me to take the time to help you out, and you are more likely to accept my help. Second, coaching plays a central role in team effectiveness. A key focus for any team leader should be to ensure their team has enough of the other six drivers to be able to sustain effective performance. Third, the research shows that each of the drivers can directly influence important outcomes such as performance, quality, and innovation. And success begets positive attitudes. When a team is performing effectively and accomplishing its goals, it tends to reinforce positive attitudes. We'll allude to these relationships throughout the book. Getting the most out of this book. The book is divided into three parts. Of course, we'd like you to listen to the entire book, but you don't have to. The first part provides the context for the rest of the book. If you continue through the next two chapters, you'll find evidence with which to make a compelling case that teamwork is a business imperative. Be better prepared to avoid five common teamwork myths that can lead to bad decisions, learn how teams differ and why that's important, and be better equipped to understand the research described throughout the book. The middle part of the book, chapters 4 through 10, describes the science of teamwork. Each chapter highlights one of the seven drivers and is full of research findings and insights, along with examples from teams in action. This section is evidence-based but easy to grasp. Not too geeky, but not oversimplified either. We believe anyone who leads a team, works on a team, or supports a team in any way should know what really drives team performance. That knowledge can keep you from being unduly influenced by what sounds logical but is wrong, is easy to understand but is too simplistic, or is consistent with what you have been led to believe but is actually a myth. So we hope you'll listen to the middle part of the book. But if you want to get immediately to the punchline to learn what I should do, you can jump directly to the third part of the book. Chapter 11 summarizes key points about the science of teamwork. Chapters 12 through 15 contain role-specific advice for team leaders, team members, internal and external consultants, and senior leaders, respectively. If you choose to jump ahead, we won't judge you. But you'll miss out on learning some really useful things about the nature of teams in Part 1 and about the science of teamwork in Part 2. If, after finishing the book, you want to share what you've learned with a leader who has a limited amount of time, guide them to Chapter 11, and then either Chapter 12, if they are a team leader, or Chapter 14, if they are a senior leader. At the end of the book, you'll also find a set of tools, including a list of desirable team member competencies, tips for conducting a team debrief, and questions for reviewing the conditions that foster or inhibit teamwork. For example, policies, senior leader behaviors, and resources. One final thought for getting the most out of this book. We encourage you to identify a team you can think about as you go through the book. It could be a team you are a member of or one you lead. But having a specific team in mind will be helpful when we guide you to think about key findings throughout the book. Chapter 2. Busting a Few Teamwork Myths. On September 7, 2015, the Boston Red Sox were playing the Philadelphia Phillies on a beautiful sunny afternoon at historic Fenway Park. In the top of the fourth inning, with the Sox leading 6-1, rookie Red Sox pitcher Eduardo Rodriguez threw a fastball on the outer half of the plate to Phillies first baseman Darren Ruff. Ruff swung and hit the baseball hard. The ball launched off Ruff's bat at over 100 miles per hour, headed toward the deepest part of Fenway Park and right center field, a tricky area known as the Triangle, where the bullpen wall juts out precipitously into the field. 0.5 of a second after the ball left Ruff's bat, Red Sox center fielder Mookie Betts broke into a run, accelerating to a top speed of over 18 miles per hour in 4.3 seconds, and reached up over the edge of the wall, snatching the ball out of the air at the last moment to save a home run. Red Sox announcers Don Orsillo and Jerry Remy described Betts' basket-style catch as a great individual play, showing great courage and great skill. Although this appeared to be just a great individual play, A closer look, toward the end of this chapter, reveals how the play was actually the culmination of a series of team-related elements. This is often the case in work settings as well. We should care about teamwork, because most business successes involve contributions from various people working together effectively, even when it might first appear that it was simply due to individual excellence. Perhaps you'll like to work in a team. According to a survey of 23,000 employees conducted by CEB, a global research and advisory firm, most people say they want to work collaboratively, although obstacles often get in the way. But whether you like or dread being on teams, you'll almost certainly be on many teams in your career, perhaps serving as a team leader. There's a good chance you'll be on more than one team at a time. Maybe you'll be on a departmental team while also leading a project team. And looking forward, the odds are that you'll be expected to collaborate and work in teams even more frequently. Organizations are becoming flatter and more matrixed with fewer layers of management. This type of organizational design heightens the need for teamwork. Over two-thirds of the respondents in the CEB survey reported that collaboration requirements are increasing in their organization. And in a widely cited Harvard Business Review article, Rob Cross, Reb Rebel, and Adam Grant reported that time spent in collaborative activities has grown by 50%. Looking forward, in a Deloitte study of over 7,000 companies from over 130 countries, business leaders said they expect to use team-based structures even more frequently as an organizational design strategy. Simply stated, there will be fewer opportunities to work alone. Companies form and disband work teams, cross-functional teams, project teams, and even virtual teams with great regularity. Many of these teams struggle. 1. Over 90% of employees believe teams are critical to the success of their organization, but less than 25% of them consider their own teams to be very effective, according to Leanne Davey, author of You First, Inspire Your Team to Grow Up, Get Along, and Get Stuff Done. 2. Over 60% of software project teams deliver behind schedule, and almost half come in over budget, as reported by journalist Poe Bronson. 3. Team-related problems contribute to almost 50% of the failures in business startups, either due to the composition of the leadership team or how they work together, as revealed in a series of postmortems collected by CB Insights, a business intelligence firm. 4. Teamwork breakdowns are one of the three leading causes of safety problems in hospitals, according to an Institute of Medicine study. And 5. Less than 25% of executives feel confident in their ability to build cross-functional teams, as reported by Deloitte. Working as a team can have great benefits, but it isn't easy. Each team experience, good or bad, can make a person more or less eager to be on teams in the future. Having a bad teamwork experience makes you less inclined to take on another team assignment. It starts in school. Remember when the teacher gave you a team assignment? You were told that your team would receive one grade. Freddie, the kid who was loafing and didn't come to any of your team meetings, would get the same grade you do. And your teacher probably didn't give your team any advice or training on how to work as a team, although perhaps he told you to play nice. If your team got a C, you were angry that others who didn't pull their weight hurt your grade. And even if your team received an A+, you might have been resentful that the loafer also received that grade. Bad team experiences can sour you about teams in general. When you subsequently graduate and get a job, your new boss says, "Welcome, here's your desk," and then gives you a team assignment. How enthusiastic are you? You may not be joining that team with the best attitude. According to a Graduate Management Admission Council survey, less than 15% of U.S. students prefer to learn in team settings. About 20% of Chinese students prefer it, which, while higher, is still a surprisingly low number for a more collectively oriented society. We suspect that team learning may be unpopular because without the right preparation and awareness, most student teams don't work well together, so the team experiences aren't positive. Interestingly, when Scott and his colleagues Eric Eddy and John Matthew helped student teams in the business school at Siena College improve...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?